welcome and thank you for listening to the Dr. Mom Sage Advice Podcast. Are you a single mom who is tired of feeling overwhelmed by doing it all? Have you been asking yourself, what is my real purpose outside of motherhood and my career? Are you tired of yelling, feeling mom guilt at the end of the day? If you're ready to go from chaos to confidence in your mindset and in parenting, then this is the place for you. Here we are authentic, transparent, and frankly, we're here to burst all of those mom guilt bubbles and empower you to take back control of your life so you can go from just surviving in motherhood to thriving and walking confidently in your best purpose-filled life God intended for you. I'm your host, Dr. Catricia, a board-certified bilingual pediatrician. I'm also fellowship-trained in pediatric urgent care medicine. That's just my fancy title for the weekdays, but 24/7, I'm the proud single mommy of my little wild mini-me toddler. I'm also a postpartum depression survivor. Now, I'm on a mission to empower other single moms to take back control of their life. Through candid conversations, we will learn, be encouraged, inspired, and committed to making practical changes so we can be our best selves for the queen who reigns already inside of us.
Welcome back, Queen. So I wanted to do this episode because if I'm 100% honest with you, this is something that a lot of single mothers go through, including myself. And it can be a very hard time to get through. And I just want to uplift and encourage every single mom, wherever you may be, whether you're co-parenting, whether you're a newly divorced single mom, a widowed single mom, or you've been at this for so long and you're starting to lose hope on if God even really hears your prayers. I wanted to share my heart and some inspiration on how to make it through these holidays, creating new memories and not necessarily just trying to rush through it and forget about it. Because it's going to keep happening every year, right? So a little bit about my experience. I can remember one Thanksgiving holiday during my residency years in kind of around like 2010, maybe 2012-ish or so. I don't know what you call those, like the early 2000s. And I had fractured my knee and was in this long leg cast, like all the way up to my thigh. And it's not uncommon that I worked a lot of Thanksgivings and didn't have the opportunity to be with family because that's just residency life, right? Like the hospitals don't shut down. People still get sick. And as a pediatric resident on the floors of the wards, Thanksgiving usually was a holiday that I picked so that I could go home. And literally, I think we got like maybe 5 days and a weekend. So like some way we were able to like either get the Thanksgiving holiday off or we chose Christmas, which didn't lead into New Year's, right? So it wasn't a full 7 days. So I always would pick Christmas just because traditionally and culturally for my family, I feel like that was celebrated a lot more. And plus, I don't even really care to celebrate Thanksgiving. That's a whole nother story about how Columbus stole America. But nevertheless, I digress. So this particular Thanksgiving, I was in a cast and I was living in Augusta, Georgia, and not a lot of extended family. I had like, you know, an aunt who lived in Atlanta, which is a couple hours, I think it's north, and no family at all where I lived. I had some church family members that I was learning to become accustomed to and closer to, but still pretty brand new in the city, and had this leg cast on. And so essentially that meant no traveling, right? So, because I was still in crutches and everything. And I decided, you know, I'm not going to be in this depressed mood. I'm going to cook Thanksgiving dinner. And when I say Thanksgiving dinner, it wasn't like your traditional stuff. A lot of things came out the box. No shame there. I mean, they had like instant sweet potatoes in a box. I'm like, check, got it. Instant mashed potatoes, check, got it. I think I tried to attempt some sort of macaroni dish and like made this huge pan for like one person. Stuffing in the box, got it. And then I did turkey legs. And I had this whole feast. Instagram was brand new then, you guys. So I don't even know when Instagram came out. I don't remember. I had to scroll down my feed. But Instagram was brand new. And so I was like, let me snap a picture and post this, right? And I posted it. And at the time, I was talking to a guy. It wasn't my boyfriend per se, but we were dating. And he said, you know, he would come over later to spend time with me. And I posted it. I was just like, look at this feast. You know, I mean, this large feast for myself. And I remember thinking in that moment, I told God, I don't ever want to spend another holiday alone. Like, just naturally, like inside of my spirit, although I'm a very introverted person, I have the desires to create memories and do things like travel and, you know, pick out a new ornament each year, do ski trips. Like that's not my upbringing, but it's something inside of my spirit that I've always yearned for. And after becoming a single mother, it's something that I've actually grieved over. Every holiday is a trigger for me. Every birthday party is a trigger. Even going to birthday parties, which we have one to go to later this afternoon. Because in the circle we hang out in, we're usually the only single parent family. And my child is of age now where she sees that. She's actually started to notice when she was like 3.5 and 4, and she asked questions. And I always feel like I have to do this extra, have this extra defense of layer protection for her emotions. Meanwhile, like I am so triggered. I'm triggered by the thoughts of here it is another holiday that we're spending just the two of us, or here it is, we're at swim classes and it's the holiday season and all these grandparents are here at the swim meet or the swim lessons, you know, on a random Saturday. And my daughter only has one set of grandparents and one set of grandparents who, you know, are not physically able to attend the majority of the things that she participates in. It's always me. Always me as her single mother who does not co-parent. And immediately those thoughts come and flood my head and I just get in this place of just not even being happy in the moment. Not even being happy taking family pictures on a fall windy day because it's cold and my daughter is saying it's cold for the 500,000th time. And I'm like, we just need holiday cards. Holiday cards that I purposely didn't take for years because I was like, oh, I'm going to wait until there's a husband. I'm going to wait until there's a dad. I'm going to wait until there's a white picket fence with the 2.2 kids and the happy smiling family before I ever send out a holiday card. Why are we always waiting? The season we're in now is still beautiful. It may not be perfect. It may not be what you have planned, but it's where God has you. For a reason. You see, nothing catches him by surprise. In Proverbs 19, I think it's verse 21, it says, many are the plans in man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. We can have all these plans that we've envisioned, that we are used to in our previous married days or partnership days, and now we're finding ourselves being a single mother going through the holidays, and it's easy to feel the hate during this time of the year. Maybe you used to really love all the festivities, getting together with your friends and family, watching your kids smile as they open the presents. And then all of a sudden your world, you know, turned and it's upside down because of divorce, because of a loss of a partner, because of rejection. And instantly it depresses you because your kids don't have their father around to build those memories with. And it's just you. Those are normal feelings to have. But you don't have to stay in those feelings. You don't have to think that because you don't have the same financial flow of income coming through that you no longer are able to get your kids amazing gifts or take pictures of them opening so that you can have memories for years to come. Gifts are just a part of the moments that we create. But not having the financial means to be able to purchase the gifts that they want doesn't mean that you're inadequate, right? I think our children, when we as adults, when I look back, I probably could tell you guys maybe, oh my God, right now it comes top of my head, it's just one gift I really remember. Did I get gifts? Yes, of course. No, two gifts come to the top of my head. One of the gifts was a matching lime green looking sweatsuit, like outfit. Number one, why do parents give clothes and wrap them? Like, why do grandmas give socks every year? Like, I mean, I know we need them, but like, who gets excited about that? You guys, I was in elementary school. My sister, who's like 2 years younger than me, got the same set. and they made us try it on, and I was like, ooh, this doesn't fit. No one followed me in the bathroom, you guys. Like, this is how I know my child is straight a mini me. Like, she's so very smart and sneaky. I was so sneaky. So I don't know, I had to be like 7 or 8, went in the bathroom. I was like, yeah, this doesn't fit. It's too small. And they're like, okay, we'll take it off. And they took it back to the store, and I never had to wear it. I freaking lied. I lied because it was hideous. It was so ugly. Like, why would you give me a green lime suit? Like, I'm already light bright. Like, why do I need to walk around in neon colors? That's one gift I can remember. The other gift was a fire truck. There's only girls in my house. My dad has no boys. So we did all the boy things, fishing, cut the grass. We moved into my grandparents' house. Like, I, you know, was a tomboy at heart. And he got me a fire truck. I don't even remember if I asked for it, but I definitely was enjoying it. And I'll never forget this Christmas because I didn't get to keep the fire truck. We actually end up donating it to a family. And I don't remember how my father knew the family, but he actually involved me in that process of telling me, you know, hey, here's this gift that you really wanted, but I know this little boy and his family who doesn't have money, they were unable to get him a gift. Are you okay with sharing this gift? And that's probably really not what he said, but it was something along the lines. And I remember that moment. And that's the gift that I remember, the lime green suit and the fire truck. All the other Christmases, I don't remember what gifts. I say that to say, don't beat yourself up for not being able to afford whatever gifts that your children are asking for. They're going to be asking for stuff for all their life. It can suck. It absolutely can suck going through these holidays as a single mom. But here are some tips. Here are some inspirational ideas to help you beat the holiday blues as a single mom. Number one, don't think that just because it's you and your babies that it has to be just you and your babies. If you live in a city in a town where there's close family and even close friends, then go ahead and reach out and speak up and say, hey, we're not doing much. Would it be okay if we join your family? Or, hey, you know, after you guys finish doing your festivities, do you mind coming over here? Would you like to come over here and we can have dessert? Like, even if you don't spend the whole day with your family and friends, like, it's still probably a good idea to have other people in your home or go visit other people so that you don't feel like you become isolated. You know, I know there's some moms who maybe legitimately try to avoid even going to the store or shopping or going to do things like ice skating because, again, seeing the families out of two-parent homes, it's triggering. You know, the Christmas music, the decorations, it feels like it's just being rubbed in your face. Like, this is happy. This is what a happy family looks like. And when you don't have that, it makes you feel like, what did you do wrong? When is it your turn to God forget about you? So my first advice is to visit close family and friends. Getting out of your house can improve your spirits. If you live in a town in the Midwest like I do up north, my God, those 5, the almost 6 months out of the year where there's not much sunlight and it's cold definitely can affect your mood. You know, it's like my daughter, I don't know where, for her to be Florida born, Miami born, and to be a saltwater baby like me, like, I don't know why she loves the snow as much as she does, but she does. And I'm that type of mom, no lie, that will scoop up some snow in a sand pail, you guys, with a sand shovel. Scoop up that snow and put it inside her sand bucket and hand it to her to play inside of the shower or the tub. No joke, because I'm not standing outside in no one's snow suit waiting for her to play in this snow because it's too cold. It's too cold. And I know that the longer I stay in the house with her, those thoughts, that mood of depression, it just sinks in deeper and deeper. So if we could just get out the house, even if it's just to go to the gas station or to the pharmacy, you know, to get hot chocolate or to buy a bag of chips, like, it's the fact that you moved from one environment to the next makes all the difference in your mood and even in your spirits. Visiting those family and close friends, obviously, establish boundaries. I'm not asking you to go to the toxic family member where you know there's going to be drama ensued. I'm not asking you to go to the friend who's the backstabber, but go to the people who you trust well. And even if Christmas or Thanksgiving is not your holiday and your children are with the other parent, then still know that it doesn't mean that you can't celebrate, that you can't create memories with friends and your own family without them, right? I know it's hard, but I think it would be better for your spirit if you made that connection, because it can improve your mood. The next idea that I have is to remember that the memories are more than just what you can give. And it's not about what you're lacking, but it's really about creating that fun moment that your child holds on to. So think about your kids. This will definitely help you to get out of your head, get out of the negative thought patterns and cycles of what you don't have, what you're lacking. You know, when we focus our mind on what is going well, what we are grateful for, it really definitely gives you a sense of peace and fills up that jar of joy inside of your soul. And takes the power away from those negative thoughts that try to cloud our thought process. Like, you have to really ask yourself, is this a fact or is this just what I'm feeling and thinking in the moment? Maybe a fact that in this moment you're not married, but does that mean that it's your reality for the rest of your life? That's not guaranteed. Like, moment by moment, day by day, things change, right? And if you're a believer, then you know that God is a God of, like in Amos 9:13, where he does things suddenly and unexpectedly. And I just love that I serve a God that he knows what our needs are before they ever become a need. Before I ever open my mouth to utter a prayer or tell God what I'm feeling, what I want and what I desire and what I'm needing, he already knows it. He already knows it. And he's a God that's the God of the beginning, but he only is not the God of the beginning. He's also the God of my middle. And in order to form my beginning, he started from the end. He knows how it's going to end. God knows that, yes, this is my fifth year as a single mother celebrating Christmas. And by now I had envisioned that I would be married. I look at my 2020 vision board. I look at my 2021 vision board. There's pictures of rings. There's pictures of a man and a woman in their snow coats and beanie hats and snow boots, whatever. And she's pregnant and there's pictures of mansions. And I'm still believing for that. And I'm still expecting that. And I'm still manifesting that to come into my life. But it's like a puzzle, right? You know, see all the pieces at the same time, like, you know that there's a bigger picture, and until the pieces start to align with each other, it's not really making sense what is happening. But once it's all finished, oh, you're going to understand. You're going to understand why you were in a season where you were a single parent. You're going to understand that it was God giving you the strength that you needed to prepare you for where he's taking you next. You're going to understand that it was building the character, not only of you, but of your children who are watching you and who are modeling the resiliency that you have. You're going to understand it was because God needed to birth purpose out of you and take you through a journey and a pathway that you would have not chosen for yourself, which he would still allow because that's his permissible will, but not his perfect will for your life. Oh, you're going to understand, mama, that when you were going through these holiday seasons, that God was already on the other side of the world, on the other side of the city, on the other side of the state, molding your husband, preparing him to come and to meet you guys in a place where both of you guys would be ready to connect and to be purpose partners. So don't you dare stay in those thoughts that are negative and toxic without remembering what you already are grateful for. How God has already kept you, how God has already given you the limbs to have, that the fact that you're not celebrating holiday season in hospital clinic wards, that you're still alive, that you're survived through this pandemic, that you have babies where moms have been praying to have babies, that you have babies that you, even though may not be with physically on one holiday versus the other holiday, that you can still create memories before and after. Like, we don't have to be boxed in. You could do what you want to do. If you don't want to have turkey for Thanksgiving, honey, don't do the turkey. If you don't want to celebrate on the actual Thursday and you want to make it a Friday, Saturday thing and take them out of school, honey, do that. Whatever it is, play the holiday music, sing, dance, get outside, go sledding, have snowball fights, make snow castles, snow angels, decorate a tree. You know, something I just started doing with my daughter, you know, I have to learn what her love language is. And we'll talk about that probably in season 3 or season 4 about the love languages and how we can connect deeper with our children from a conscious parenting standpoint by understanding their love languages. And my daughter, she actually has 2 that I believe are her top. One day, obviously, when she's old enough, she'll be able to take the quiz with me and answer the questions. But clearly, I'm her mama. And I know, like, since this girl was legit, like, early months, she's a touch girl. Like, she's someone who got to have her toes all up on my spine, even though we're sitting beside each other on the couch. Like, I have pictures of her where she's like 7 months old and her legs are crossed and her toes are touching me. When she was a newborn, her toes are always touching me. Probably nursing her has a lot to do with her physical touch love language, but she's also a quality time girl. The things like, do you want to play with me? Can you do this with me? You want to watch a movie? Let's have a movie night. Oh, can we go to Chipotle? Like, and then we have a picnic. Like, she's totally quality time girl. And I have learned that the more I feed into those love languages, the less I see the meltdowns, the less I see the talk back, the less I see the attitude, right? And she loves all things like festivities. Like, the tree is already up because she's been begging me to put it up. And she loves, you know, winter activity as it relates to ice skating, playing in the snow. And she loves hot cocoa. Even like if it's summertime, she wants to drink hot cocoa. So when I was in Puerto Rico for my solo birthday trip, I bought her some special hot chocolate. And all last year I was searching around the town for snowballs. Are they called snowballs? No, the cocoa hot bombs, the hot bombs, cocoa bombs, and finally found them. Well, yesterday I was at Walmart and I found an actual hot cocoa bomb kit for like $5. I'm just like, this is something that we can start as a tradition, like making our own hot cocoa bombs. And earlier this month, what I did was actually set up a cocoa bar. So we had like cookies from a cookie place and we went to the store and bought like toppings that we think we could put inside of our hot cocoa. So whipped cream. We already had candy canes. So we talked about how we were going to crush those, make candy cane sprinkles. And we set up the whole thing. And I mean, the girl was in there putting pretzels and marshmallows and popcorn all inside of hot cocoa. But did I care? No, because that's the way she wanted to design it. But the point is, like, doing something so simple, I'm sure I didn't spend more than like $20, if that. We already have most of the ingredients, but that memory is gonna last her for a lifetime. You know, the same memory pretty much now for the last 2.5 years, this will be the 3rd year, every Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, I actually let her spend the night with my parents because she helps my father, who, you know, isn't very mobile, but that's their bonding moment that they get to put the sage on the turkey. And even so, she was like 3, like little girl, like rubbing down the turkey and mixing up the cornbread for the stuffing. Like, that's their tradition that they do now. So you have to remember that it's about your babies, and whatever it is that you're grieving, that you have planned, and you thought, oh, I'm going to wait until, don't wait, mama. Don't wait until the husband comes. Don't wait until you're co-parenting in a more positive light. Create the memories now. It actually helps you to get out of your own head when you focus on the happy moments. Our kids are not looking for perfect families. In fact, they don't even know what a perfect family is because all they know is their family. Okay? They just need us to be happy and they need us to be thriving. Next idea to help you get out of the holiday blues, volunteer. Give back to charity. When you can focus on giving to others who are less fortunate than you, it can help you put in your situation into a better perspective. Again, it doesn't mean that your feelings are not validated and that you don't have the right to feel upset or feel that, you know, that you've been rejected or feel that this is a hard time to get through. Maybe there's some trauma associated with holidays from your childhood. And if that's the case, then I would definitely implore you to seek, you know, professional counseling and therapy services. However, as a mother now, you have the power. It's in your control to change the narrative. It's in your control to break those cycles. And I think a great way to do that is by instilling in your children those soft skills that are a little hard to teach. You know, we talk about, oh, sharing is caring when they're 2. Okay, but where do we go beyond that? Beyond sharing a toy in the moment, right? Which a 2-year-old is like, this is my toy. You can do things by showing them how, even though we may not have much, it's still important to get. So for instance, with my daughter, you know, she sees those trash bags like pretty much weekly. Like, I'm decluttering and I'm going through things that she doesn't play with anymore, clothes that we're not wearing anymore, old books that we've read multiple times that we don't read anymore because we have a new supply of books, because people give to her, mommy buys things for her, and that we can share because there are children whose mommies and daddies don't have the same type of job that her mommy does, and they don't have a lot of money to spend on extra things. And of course, obviously, I'm a 3-year-old, I'm a 2-year-old, I'm a 4-year-old, you know, like, she pushed back, but now she understands it, to act so much so that she tries to outsmart me, and she'll say, well, I want to give this to the kids. I want to give this to the kids, because she then thinks that means a new thing can come into her home. Doesn't always work that way, but at least she's smart for trying. So we give. Prior to COVID, we were doing 2 years in a row. I mean, the girl was only 2 and a half. But I have a cousin who's a chef here locally, and she hosts a Thanksgiving dinner with her husband and his team. And we showed up. I donate my time. I donate. They also have like a clothing drive at the same time. We donate clothes. We donate her toys. And we donate, you know, money to help. And then we serve, you know, like, I mean, my daughter was only 3 the year before COVID, and I had her at the dessert table. I was at the main table, like, serving mashed potatoes, and she was at the dessert table with strangers. I mean, I could see her, but she was like handing out the plates, the pre-cut pies. So it's important to give them the opportunity to show on them that even though our family may be small, or we may not have the biggest tree or as many presents underneath our tree, like, it's still what matters most is the love that we have inside of our family. And incorporating your kids into the act of giving to those who are less fortunate is a huge life lesson that you can impart inside of them that will go with them for the rest of their life. Okay. And then lastly, you know what I'm going to say? You got to make time for yourself, for self-care. You deserve it. So whether that looks like having room to breathe, to meditate, to journal, to rest, to turn off social media, honey, take those social media detox. Like, oh my gosh, like, this is going to be the time where you're seeing all the pictures posted and all the spreads. And honestly, there's just some holidays I don't want to be on social media. Valentine's is one of them. Mother's Day probably was another one too, you know. I've talked about that in my podcast before, you know, how a single mother feels about celebrating Mother's Day. So whatever it is that you need to do, cry, laugh, like, scream, don't bottle your feelings up, let them out. Because we don't want them to burst to the point that now we're, you know, yelling at our kids or like being short and, you know, snappy with them. Hey, I'm raising my hand because I've been there. I do it. And when I am doing it, I realize it's because I haven't poured into myself like I should. So journal, take a hot bath, watch you a movie. You know, if you're going to watch a Hallmark sappy movie, do it. But afterwards, express gratitude again, you know, and say, okay, even though I don't have my knight in shining armor who bumps into me in the milk aisle, you know, on Christmas Eve, that may not be our love story, but God still has a love story for us that he's authoring, and there's no better author of love than him. So I hope those tips will help you, mommy, to empower you to get through this holiday season and beat the holiday blues. You are more than enough. You are a queen. You're amazing. Your light is so bright, and I just love you. And I'm so grateful that you're a part of this community. Hey, listen, this Sunday, so by the time you listen to this podcast, it's going to be on November 26th. Let me just make sure that's the right date. No, November 28th. November 28th, I'm hosting a free masterclass, Surviving Single Motherhood, Thriving in Our Purpose. And I just want to encourage mothers on this live Zoom masterclass how to get past feeling stuck and to start walking confidently in their purpose. That's right. It's a free masterclass. Show up, invite another single mother. Go ahead and send me a DM. If you can't find the link, you can also send me a DM. So you can send me a DM on Instagram. That is Dr. Mom, DRMOM _ Sage Advice. All one word, similar to the name in this podcast. And you can find me there. Send me a DM. I will get you on our email list. I'll put the links inside of the show notes to get you on our email list as well. So you can stay up to date with all the things that we're doing here in the Dr. Mom Sage Advice community. I love you guys. I love you for listening. As always, I appreciate the reviews. I appreciate you rating it, because that is how other single moms find this community, find this podcast. And actually, I've had someone approach me in my DM not too long ago. And she said, hey, I found your podcast. podcast. And I'm like, she doesn't even follow me on my IG community. So I know you guys are sharing. I know you're out there listening, and I just love you for sharing. If you haven't shared yet, please share. And until next time, I'm encouraging you to take it one day at a time, give yourself grace, and remember, the best is yet to come.